Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, lovely private parters. Welcome to another episode. Before we kick things off once again, just wanted to say hey. It's not me just saying hey. I've got an announcement. It's actually, I don't know why I say it's an announcement. We've already announced it. But I wanted to remind you, I suppose, that this Sunday, which is Valentine's Day, the day of love, 7 p.m., we are doing a live show for you guys. Francis and I are coming on the podcast with both of our girlfriends. I mean, not that we have two girlfriends each, just Sophie's coming on and his girlfriend, Zoe, she's coming on. We also got a special guest, Kagi Dunlop, coming on. We are going to do lots of fun things. Our diaries are back. Woohoo! Our diaries are back, which is great. And above everything, is that we are raising money for mental health charities. We'd love any donation that you can give us. The tickets are, we're hoping for a minimum donation of £5 if you buy a ticket, but you can do £2, £1, even more than £5, totally up to you. Go to our Instagram page at Private Podcast, click on the link, and you can go and grab your tickets. Get them before Sunday, because there's only a few left. Also, what I wanted to mention to you guys, because it's Valentine's Day this weekend, and we know it's going to be difficult for a lot of different reasons, but it's still a day of love. We want to help people spread the love. So at Candy Kittens, we're going to offer you 20% off with the code LOVECANDY. Use it on any product on the Candy Kittens website. So just go over there, go and use the code LOVECANDY, and you get 20% off. Only for you private partners, by the way. That doesn't go for anyone else out there, just for you guys who are listening. So enjoy, grab your tickets, and welcome to another episode. Yeah, baby. Hey, private partners.
Welcome back. Wait, so who's this intro for?
This is... So in our intro of the lovely OT Mabutsi.
Oh, OT. Podcast, this is a great episode.
You've just asked me who we're doing the intro for.
Is that... Are you playing Call of Duty?
I'm not playing Call of Duty.
Who's playing Call of Duty?
Well, I played it earlier.
I think I would kick your ass at Call of Duty.
Yeah, that's because you like killing people.
Not every day, but I did play a bit. In the lockdown. I haven't played any in ages.
But. Do you know what? I like it, but I'm also bored of it because everyone's so good on it, so it's pointless.
No, just... but which one are you playing? Are you playing the actual like?
You play Warzone. That's what you play.
Oh yeah, but you should play the multiplayer.
Yeah, I know. I've played multiplayer as well, but the Warzone
where you go around the maps, right?
Yeah, I know what it is. Yeah, I know what it is.
That's actually really fun, I think. And actually, it makes it. I don't know. It's difficult to feel like you're improving at Warzone.
Do you get the thrill because you're killing people?
I get that endorphin rush. You know, that sort of slight little orgasm.
It's just. It's just. I don't like it because it actually annoys me, and people are too good at it. That's my problem with it. People are too...
No, but, yeah, I guess maybe you're too bad at it.
Or maybe I'm too bad at it.
Have you ever won a game?
Yeah, no, I've never won a Warzone. I've come like ninth or something before.
Yeah.
But I've never won. But it's just, I don't like things where everyone's just so good. Also, I don't really like the idea of just people sitting at home just playing PlayStation.
I once tweeted out, or I put it on Instagram or whatever, saying, hey, does anyone want to play a Warzone with me? And then I got these two people, like followers of mine, and then we went and we won a whole.
Did you actually?
We won, yeah. At the end of Warzone, you get like picked up in this helicopter, and it's like showing us all helicopter.
Yeah.
We all had the mics on. It was hilarious.
Wait, you won? You won with like a couple of people that you met over Twitter?
No, over Instagram. They were like followers of mine.
How many times did you die and they brought you back to life? We got to save Francis.
No, I think maybe, I don't know, like, it was the first game I'd ever won as well.
We've got to save Francis.
Yeah, because we were a team. We had that glue, the bond of brotherhood.
What were their names?
It escapes me now, but...
What do you think their names were?
I can go back. I think I recorded it.
On what? On Twitch? On like some recording?
No, you can record things in PlayStation.
Yeah. I know what you mean, honey.
Some of my best work
is what?
Is recorded.
What? On PlayStation?
On PlayStation.
What other work?
You know, if you're like, oh, that was I was sick. Like I won, I killed so many people. Then you can just press record, and it records the whole.
I remember once when I played FIFA back at university, the ball was like kicked out of me. I was playing Man City and the ball was kicked out of me, out of their box, and it landed on the other, in my half, and I just volleyed it with Torre and it went like a rocket into the top corner. From like,
really?
Yeah, from behind the halfway line. And I recorded it on my BlackBerry at the time.
I
didn't have it.
What,
anymore.
You filmed? Oh, you've recorded the playback.
Yeah, I recorded the playback of it. It was that epic. Hey, but listen, all you private.
I thought
partners,
you were talking about real life.
No. Hey, all you private partners, we have a brilliant episode for you today. Very excited for this one because we have the lovely Oti Mbuzi on our podcast.
I think you know there's going to be a lot of overlap between people who are interested in Call of Duty trivia and Oti Mbuzi. I think.
Yeah. I think you're possibly right, but OT,
we did a good job to keep them listening.
This was a great episode.
Yeah, it was excellent. She's a great guest.
So, I think we should just kick off with it and just you know get talking because she has an epic story. She's been dancing since the age of five. You're going to find that out in this episode. Dancing from the age of five, Francis.
Some people even start earlier than that, though.
You digging out OT for not OT.
I thought five is quite late in the day to start dancing.
Fucking bullshit.
What were you doing for those 4 years?
Hey, listen, all you private partners, if you want to check out our Instagram, that'd be great, at private podcast. Send us an email or some stories over Instagram as well. We want to read them out on our bonus episodes on Wednesday. contact@privatepartspodcast.com. But for now, enough rambling. Francis, let's intro the podcast.
Welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, Oti Mbuzi.
So, before we kick things off, I just want to say this is 2 years in the making.
Well, the podcast.
No, not the podcast.
How long have we known each other now, Jamie?
No, not you and I, Francis. No, I don't care about you and I. I'm talking about me and Oti. Oti, you biatch.
Well, I was worth the wait, I promise you.
What, really? It was worth the wait before we even started. It was worth the wait. Are you kidding me?
I think so.
Oh, I can't do it.
You can't just say yes,
I can't
yes,
do
yes,
the
yes.
podcast. I can't. What are you talking about?
Jamie, I'm here. 2 years. I had nothing to do but talk to you and catch up. And so I'm here. Yeah.
And also, Francis, before we start, you said Oti's drunk again. So she's
no.
just...
I'm not... I'm not. I'm trying out some, I'm saying alcohol-free alcohol.
Oh, yeah?
Drink. Because, so, you know this, sometimes companies, they send you stuff, mm-hmm. and then they go try yes. our product first, and if you like it, then we could do a campaign or something, and I had to try it.
We can't talk about non-alcoholic products without talking about Clean Co., right?
Right, we can say anything we want. It's our podcast. We can say anything we want. Yeah. But what have you made a conscious decision to try and not drink as much during this lockdown? Is that the idea?
I never said that. No. Okay, no. That's not what I said. No. I just wanted to try this product to see if it really works, if it tastes good. Because if you have to advertise something, you kind of have to really, really believe in it.
Don't tell that to Jamie, because
I wanted to see if it worked.
He does not understand what you mean by that. He's like, what?
You don't.
I'll sell anything. You want to sell it? I'll sell it. What is that?
You mean you have to have integrity?
I wanted to actually know what it tastes like and if it's worth it, because I've never had alcohol-free gin before. Mm-hmm. There's a little push for the product that's not even paying me yet. There we go.
What's it called?
I really love alcohol-free gin.
What's it called and where can you buy it?
No, you don't say
I'm not
going to cool.
tell you because I want the campaign.
You want to get that girl? Do you know what?
This
is the amazing thing about you, Oti, which I think a lot of people do know, but and perhaps they don't know, is that what's so impressive about you is not only all of your talents, but you are incredibly driven in your life and how hard you work. And you've been like that ever since a kid. This is an amazing story. So Johannes, right, and Oti used to dance when you were younger, since you were about 6 years old, isn't that right?
Yeah.
And Johannes was, everyone was always like, oh, here comes that OT kid. She was isn't this right? Isn't this true? You were the one, tell the story. You were always the one who was like center of attention. You were always there dancing.
No, well, this is what happened. I come from a very ambitious family already. So if you can imagine, my mom was my trainer. Then she opened the dance school, and she opened it in a very poor South Africa where we had nothing and there was a lot of crime. So to get three black girls out of the ghetto, you had to be really strict. Mm. And dancing is all we had. Dancing is all we had to take out our frustration and our competitiveness. Turns out that I come from a very competitive family as well. And we are extremely competitive. So when I was competing with Johannes, I didn't know any different. I still don't. I didn't know any different. So from six, I was like, I want that trophy.
That is amazing to have that mentality when you're six, right? You want to win and just go for it at 6 years old.
But if you think of slightly the institution of dance, it's already set up in that way. You're first, second, third, fourth. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't want to be fifth, sixth. And not that it takes away from anything or that it's bad, but they praise this first position so much. When you're first, you get to go to the SA Championships, which are the South African Championships. Then you get to go to the European Championships. Then you get to go to the World Championships. Then the World Games. And you get to see the world. Wow. Now, if you think of poor South Africans who have never even left that town or that city, and by winning, it means I get to come to England or come to Germany or Italy or Finland. It was worth being competitive. I was like, I'll be that girl.
Yeah. Growing up in the ghetto, that was the only way you're saying to escape. That was the only way you had to dance.
Where are you from in South Africa?
Mabupane, which is how we say it, but it's more now. It's not now. It's an extension of Pretoria.
Okay, yeah,
yeah.
But that's incredible. So upbringing.
Sorry, can I just love you? Just said okay. Like I know you know nothing.
No, my family are South Africans. My family are South Africans.
Oh really? Yeah. Oh well. Okay. Was that okay? Like a bad okay?
No. I was just trying to work out if I'd been there.
Yeah, he was. That was him. Was great. Okay.
No. Yeah. So my family are from Mauritius, right? But we're Mauritian South African,
which are not the same thing.
No, I know. No. So we've got some Afrikaans and some Mauritian.
Okay. I'm it's an Afrikaans area as well.
Pretoria is. Yeah. Yeah.
Pretoria.
Yes.
Pretoria. Yeah. So to actually leave and travel. Like Johannes will tell you, the only way that we got to travel, even for him, to go from city to city was because dance competitions were there. Mm-hmm. So if we didn't do these things, and if you're not first or second, you don't get to experience these things.
Really?
And so that's where it came from. And Strictly is nice because there's about 15 couples. In those days, there were about 50 couples. So you need to keep dancing. You dance into the 50th round. Then there's 24. Then there's 12. Then there's 6.
What?
Then you become first to say, yeah. So it was, you trained. And not just me, all the pros. Well, the ones that come from like the competitive side.
But Odie, this is incredible. So 6 years old, you're dancing basically to in a sense to get like a better life, right? And
yes.
was that all the kids? Were all the kids the kind of same? Were they all from these sort of poorer communities?
It's like a real Billy Elliot story, you know?
Yeah. So what happened was the town that I lived in is called Mabopane, and when my sister grew up, Mutsi, it was really bad. It was during apartheid, and my mom wanted an outlet for all the kids in the township. So she got my sister's friends, then I have another sister, Pamela, and all her friends, and started a school, then went to other learning schools, and then created a dance school. So then there became this institution in this town, and it was our dance school. And then it just kept on going for generations. So if you think Mutsi's 10 years older than me, it started with her, carried on for 10 years, and then continued 10 years after me. And she was still creating black dancers.
Wow.
And in Latin Borum, there weren't many.
Yeah.
Black dancers with good quality at a high standard.
Wow.
So my mom is that woman.
This is incredible. But also, I suppose, it must be tough, right, having a mum who's also your coach and your trainer.
Yeah.
Because you, how do you separate, you know, you always talk about, like, in life, right? This is what's really important.
Yeah.
You have to separate work and normal life. That's so important. But potentially what could happen, especially if your mum's your trainer, that those lines get blurred. Or did that happen not with you? Was there a good separation?
No, it happened all the time.
Really, was it all the time?
Yeah, all the time. It still happens now. She's like, you have to wash your dishes because you didn't straighten your legs in the rumba. Yeah.
No way. Was it like that?
No. But you could kind of feel like we had a lot of sacrifices, and for good reasons. Like, we couldn't go out for a sleepover because we had dance competition or training. And one of my sisters, I won't say which one, they bunked training once.
Mutsi, 100%.
No, Mutsi's the angel.
Really?
Mutsi's the angel. She bunked training and they didn't go to training.
Oh,
and
no.
Obviously my mom is the coach.
So she knew.
And she obviously. And she was like, what? She regretted it. She never, ever, ever did that again.
So I know a lot of my African friends, their parents are extremely strict and have some sometimes crazy ways of punishing their children. Did your mom, considering she was also your coach, did she have any, how did she generally, like, punish you if you would?
She had me when she was a lot older.
Yeah.
So I think she was, and I just did what I want. I do what I want. Jamie knows. I'll do what I, so I think by the time I was like a teenager and got into a little bit of mischief, she was like, oh, I can't do this for the
your,
third time.
Your sisters, you have brothers and sisters?
Two sisters.
They beat the path for you to basically do what you wanted.
Basically. But Mutsi was a good girl. Mutsi was a really, really good. She's like the golden angelic. She wanted to please my parents. My middle sister's a rebel. She was like, I don't care.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And I think they were just too tired for me. They were like, ugh.
Yeah, but I don't think they were, because I think also, OT, you have this incredible drive that is rare to see in individuals. Like,
maybe they just trusted you to make your own decisions.
I would trust me.
But I think it's true. You do. And honestly, not to really big you up, but you do have this incredible drive that is really rare. And that's, you know, we got to congratulate you on being the back-to-back champion of Strictly Come Dancing 2020, baby. Here we go, Bill Bailey. Yeah.
No, but I think I don't know a different way. And I keep saying that, like, for me, and I keep telling you this, I told you during the season, when I'm focused and I want something, I go for it and I don't sleep until it's what I want. And I get emotionally into it. I get physically into it, mentally into it, until it's right and it looks good. Because also, it's about you. Yeah. That's the job. The job is to make you look good. And if you don't look good, then I'm not doing my job.
Yeah, no, I think it's incredible. But also, just going back to your upbringing, was it, you know, you are a black female who is doing, as you said, Latin and things, which is completely different. You're from a poor area. Do you have to jump over me stuttering as I, you know, me going like,
hey. Did you have to jump?
Me just trying to sound so relatable.
Yeah.
Trying
Straight
to do
out of Chelsea.
Yeah. Oti said to me when we were doing Strictly Together, it was so good. She said, we were talking about Christmas, and she was like, what did you do at Christmas, Jamie?
No,
you were probably having like...
That's not how it started. The whole season, I was obsessed with The Crown. I was so obsessed. Remember, like for 2 weeks, I was talking like Princess Margaret. And then you said, I'm going to see my family in Gloucestershire. And I went, where? You said Gloucestershire. I'm like, wait. Isn't that where like Prince Charles and Camilla live? So you're talking to like four immigrants here. And we all just turned and looked at you. We're like, what does Christmas look like in Gloucestershire?
And I was like, Odie, it's pretty much the same. And she was like, what do you do? And I was like, what do you think I do? I make the villagers run around and whoever, like, I try and shoot them. What do you think I try and do during this time? And then
he invites all the village to his house.
That's what we thought. And then I was like, no, you asked me.
I said, yeah.
When did you realize Father Christmas wasn't Father Christmas?
Yeah. And what was your answer?
When he wasn't black. I was like, because our Father Christmas looks very different than the one here.
Apparently, Father Christmas turned up for OG's Christmas and he was black with a gold tooth. And then she suddenly saw that everyone else had a white Father Christmas and she's like, hang on a second, this doesn't work.
Do you know when you see all those Coca-Cola ads over Christmas? Yeah. Like back in the day, we had the same ones. He would go down the chimney, he would have a sip of Coca-Cola and wink. And then you meet one at the door and you're like,
This doesn't work.
This is not a thing, is it?
Oh my God. But you're going back to the thing. So being a black female from a poor area, learning Latin, being as driven as you have, it must have been with its challenges, right? Was that hard? What did you face?
Well, it was tough because obviously you feel like you've lost your childhood.
Yeah.
But I think this is really funny because when I look back at my childhood, I probably have forgotten the bad. I remember the good.
Yeah.
So when Johannes says, oh, to used to be that girl, it's because we work so hard. And to say, well, I'm 8-time South African champion.
Wow.
That for me is what I remember. But I remember
bragging
my mom is like, you can't go.
8's one of my favorite numbers. It's a good number.
But your mom said what? Your mom said what?
No, like you had to sacrifice a lot of stuff, a lot of childhood, because most of my memories are being in the studio. The same way I'm in the studio right now, when I say I do 10 to 10 and I won't sleep, is how I used to do it then. And as a child, obviously, you're growing up in a tough, crime-filled, racist South Africa in those days. And dancing was where I could hide, I guess.
But that's a complete contradiction, because I would suppose that you're not hiding when you're dancing, right? You're completely on show. So what do you, what do you mean, hide from society? What are you sort of hiding from?
From seeing all the bad stuff, all the negative stuff.
Escapism.
Being kind of escapism, not hiding. Escapism of having somewhere where I can be safe. I have a community. Mm. I have people around me that care about me. I don't hear the news. I don't see the crime. I'm not aware. Like, you're not aware of all those things, even though you can feel it and you can see it's around. So dancing for me became this place that protected me like a protective blanket.
Was that what it was like for you, Jamie, and Strictly?
Yes, exactly what it was like for
me. It was, though. No, it does become that.
Well, I guess particularly in the current circumstance, it probably was that for you to get away, get out of the house. You know what I mean?
But also, you know, I not to jump away from, but Strictly's, you know, much everyone thinks that Strictly is an easy experience to do. It's really not. It's a really tough experience. And OT, actually, there was a moment where OT was, we had this great moment together where
there's a mini moment. Yeah, I get nervous when you say moment.
Yeah, we did. We did. No, but OT, you know, me and you were really close and very
close,
and really close. And we had this. A moment where we were both going to be in the dance-off, and I was backstage and we were finding out, and I knew it was obviously either going, it was me, OT, or and it was someone else. I can't remember who the other person was.
Yeah.
And I was sort of going to, it's definitely going to be me. It's definitely going to be me. And we were going up against Maisie, who was an incredible dancer. And I was like, it's
going
to
be... No, you were going up against Ranveer.
No, this was the different one. Okay. And I was like, it's going to be me. And I was like, it's definitely going to be me. And OT sat me down and she was sitting there. She said, well, what happens? It doesn't matter. You know, if you go out, it doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't change you. It doesn't do this. It doesn't do that. You're still going to be the person you are. You're still going to be loved. So... And I was like, do you know what? You're damn right, OT. It doesn't matter. Who cares? Anyway, we then go back into the room and we both got... The next person to be saying, you're not in the dance-off, was OT. I looked at her. I've never seen someone cheer more. Like, so excited. And I was like, hang on a second. I thought we didn't care about that. And then it came to me and I got through this week and I was like, oh, yes! And then I came up and you said, God, it matters so much.
No, but I remember it was after you had been in the dance-off.
Yeah.
And when you made it through, I think all of us, the whole cast, just was like, yes! Like, we were amazing. So happy
so,
for you.
OT, who do you think was the
Here we go. This is where you get me in trouble.
You know, obviously there's the viewers, they have their favorite, right? But then who is the favorite within the cast?
Ooh.
Who was the favorite pair?
Jamie, what do you think?
I think there was, from what it's tough. I would say that we had a real clique. Like, not clique at all.
Building your little clique.
No, I didn't.
You're always excluding people.
I would say the people that I was extremely close to on the show, I would say that it was me, OT, Bill is an amazing character, but Bill, you know, he sort of...
was on his own,
does, he sort of is by himself almost, but he sort of he gets in...
He didn't want to associate with you.
Yeah, he didn't want to be tarnished with that brush of mine that I'd run.
He's like, what? Jamie Lang is doing the show.
But he used to remember when he goes, biscuit billionaire.
He got the call up and he was just like, oh, this is the cast, it's going to be one of those dud years, isn't it? That's what he was worried about. Shit, it's one of the dud years. Oh, no. But it was, you know, me, Maisie, Harvey, OT, you know, Gorka, Giovanni, Johanna's lovely. So it was that kind of thing. And I think we...
Yeah.
Who didn't you like?
Everyone's lovely. Everyone is
lovely. Yeah, but who was like, you know, you're like...
Everyone's lovely.
Who were you all secretly rooting to get voted off?
No one.
Come on, you can be honest. It's just private parts.
No,
right?
No, yeah, I didn't.
But I tell you what, OT, which is true that you did say, is that people don't realize. So Strictly, firstly, but Strictly is OT said Strictly is an amazing show if you don't have social media. Social media is tricky, isn't it? Do you not think?
Yeah. Yes. So we had this conversation because when you're in that position, social media can convince you that you are worthless, that you are terrible, that you don't deserve to be there, that you're not working hard, that the idea of you being there is a joke. It can do that to you. But this is one thing I learned from you, Jamie, that helped me. Because whenever something offensive would come up, you would laugh. You would laugh, like literally just laugh and giggle. And I was like, oh my God, that is so true. Because you don't even know these people. Mm. They don't even affect you. And if you read it, it's somewhat of a joke. It's like you're on a roast show and you're being roasted.
It's funny. Sometimes so it's just funny, you know, because it's like, it's also like kind of accurate. If
No, but when you see it as a joke, like, oh my goodness, I can't really take you seriously because you don't know me. I don't know you. And it's quite funny that you think you have this opinion.
But
you were always laughing. I love that.
What was the best thing they said on the Daily Mail over the course of
this? Oh, they said lots of bad things. They said, you know, you can't polish a turd to me. No, they said to me, Jamie's like the turd you can't flush. Like, honestly, they said that. They said the best one was, I had done my dance. I don't know which one it was. I think it was the tango or something. I was like, God, I smashed that pretty good. Here we go. Like,
I did smash the tango.
Yeah, I smashed that one.
You smashed it.
Yeah,
and the chessboard.
Yeah, thank you, OT. And I came off and I was like, this is pretty freaking good. Anyway, we have like this moment where like you finish a show and they add up the votes. And I was like, I'm definitely through this week. I'm like, this is going to be great. Anyway, and they were like, right, you got to come down now for the vote off. Here we go. This is the moment. I was like, I'll just have one more little look of Twitter. I hadn't looked at it. Went on to Twitter. The first thing I saw was from this guy. Who is it? He's the ex-dancer, James, whoever his name is. James Jordan, who's one of the ex-strictlies. He had tweeted saying how shit I was. And I was like, well, that's filled me with confidence going back to the stage. And then I was in the dance-off. And I was like, this is not good.
Oh, wait, so you went to look just after you came off. You're like, oh, God, people are going to be going crazy.
All negative. Yeah, all negative.
There were a couple of weeks where I would just remove the app off of my, not delete my account, but just remove the app completely. So, because if you don't see it, then it's not true. It's almost like if I say to you, the samba is a really difficult dance, then you're going to believe it. But if I just teach you a dance, you're going to do it.
Samba is very hard.
So funny thinking of you, Jamie, scrolling through frantically, thinking, there might be something nice.
trying to find the positive. Normally you're looking for the negative, but I was trying to find the positive. Surely there's something.
I've got to get my confidence back up.
Where's mum?
Where's my mum? But OT, what's interesting is that you, as you were saying in your upbringing, you have experienced challenges and tough times and adversity and all these different things. So coming onto a show like Strictly, surely you'd be used to that kind of negative stuff that social media sometimes bring, but you're saying maybe you're not.
No, Jamie, do you get used to people telling
Never.
You that you're terrible?
Never.
No.
Never.
No. The thing about Strictly, though, is that it is the people's show. Mm-hmm. It is 100% the people's show. And people over the years have gotten too used to knowing that their opinions are important and they matter, and so they need to let them be heard or be seen. And they have groups and they have parties, so that belongs to them. That is their show, and you're just a person in the show. And it's literally taken me about 4 years to get used to all the criticism. And sometimes, let me not just say sometimes, if you just listen to it and you take it into account, you can kind of make yourself better. It's not always bad, it's how you take it that's bad.
Mm. I totally hear you.
Do you know what I mean?
So,
if someone goes, well, I don't think they had enough choreography, or I don't think this was exciting, that's fine. Then the next week you go back and you make it exciting. You just take it.
Yes, girl. There we go, OT. Yes, love that. All right, Frances, we're at that moment where you've got to give us the question of the week.
Frances, you just look like trouble. Why do I feel like everybody has had it easy with you? And you're like, I just see trouble in your eyes.
So, all right. Okay. So the question of the week. Well, you're not.
He doesn't even answer it. He just goes straight past it. He's like, yeah, thanks, Oti. Appreciate it. Yeah, yeah.
I'm going in.
Yeah, yeah.
The question is, the human DNA, obviously, contains a lot of information, right? Human DNA sequence. How many novels would the human DNA fill?
How many novels?
How many? Yeah, on the average size novel, how many books would a human DNA fill? The amount of information would be contained in how many books?
In how many books would the amount of information fill if it was written down about DNA?
All the information contained in DNA was written down.
Do you know the answer to this question?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Is this going to pay any of our bills, this question?
Well, this particular question, I don't know. Unless it's on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Then.
It could be, actually. It could be. It could be. What do you think?
As our guest, you have to go first. What do you think the answer is?
So say that again. Sorry, say the question again.
So how many books or the average size novels would it take to contain all the information in the human DNA sequence?
Wow.
Can't wait for this guess. Go on.
I'm going to say about 2-3 million.
2-3 million?
2-3 million books?
Yeah, books.
Are you serious, that high?
And the human DNA.
Ozzy, what the hell are you smoking? What do you mean 2-3 million?
I don't know. Is it non-alcoholic gin?
you're smoking your non-alcoholic gin? You should be doing that.
All right, OT, you've gone for two or three million? Which one?
Two.
2 million. All right.
It's a huge
Jamie's
job.
Influenced you.
I know.
He's influenced you to reduce by 3 million or a million.
I was gonna go way less, but now you've confused me. Okay, I'm gonna go for 100,000.
100,000.
That seems way over, but I'm gonna go for 100,000. 100,000 books. Wow. That is a lot of information.
I was going to say 200,000 books, but I was like, why not?
But you 10 times it. Well done. There we go.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, listen, we're going to find out in part 2. Hey, Oti, you're going to stick around for part 2, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Oh, God, I love you.
Yeah,
okay,
I love you.
See you in part 2, everybody. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.